I wanted to get into the discussion before we leave about Jeb Bush's Florida and the national research that you've done. So I want to kind of transition out of Louisiana and maybe talk about the national agenda, you know?
So the national agenda, I don't think, is actually for creationism. I don't think, for example, Jeb Bush's organization pushes boundaries quite strongly. Is trying to push for creationism to be taught in the classroom. I personally just think he doesn't care, and that he wants to push educational choice. And the side effect of that is that creationism will be taught in these schools, which is actually harmful to our students. And so, it's made clear in my mind that I am fundamentally opposed to school vouchers because they're inseparable from creationism. And I'm going to jump to the state I'm currently in, Texas.
Yeah, which I'm in too, by the way.
Last August, I attended a meeting of the Texas Senate Education Committee because at that time, they were discussing implementing a voucher program in Texas, and we've seen a small bill in Texas. We're going to probably see a larger one as the session goes on about vouchers. And I went and testified and urged them not to adopt vouchers based on what had happened in Louisiana. And so one of the main proponents who I'm going to give credit to my research nationally to Senator Dan Patrick. He's been pushing vouchers in Texas. He actually represents the district I live in, I think, at Rice. He cut me off while I was testifying about Louisiana to make it clear that I only discovered this stuff in Louisiana. And at that time, I had to say, yeah, my research is just about Louisiana. I'm not talking about any of the vouchers programs across the country. So, Senator Patrick, I'm glad to say, now I have done my research across the country, and for every voucher program in the country I investigated, I discovered there are schools that were teaching creationism and being funded. The only programs I could not investigate fully were Mississippi, which does not have a list of schools online teaching that are accepting vouchers, and I couldn't tell who had them, and Arizona, where every single school in the state was eligible for vouchers. And the state, the education department in the state just refused to list the schools that had actually been given voucher students of every school in the state. Having said that, there are certainly schools in Arizona teaching creationism and eligible for vouchers. So I assume I listed about 15. I assume I found a few schools on that list who are actually receiving voucher students and then they're teaching creationism.
Right. Right, and you found what 160 something in Florida alone, right?
To 164, we got our first guest submission of a creationist school today. I got an email which said, "Hey, this school doesn't have a website, but you can find from this church's website of the school that they're teaching creationism." So we're up to 164 schools in Florida now.
And probably, I think that this is just pure speculation, but I would imagine that the same thing could be true in Louisiana. A lot of these schools don't have websites, aren't going to advertise that they're teaching this stuff publicly, but, will tell parents and students this when they go through orientation.
They go through orientation and they say, your curriculum is a BECA book.
Right.
Creationist, you don't take a BECA book and go teach evolution with it. You go teach your creationist.
And so this goes back to the beginning of the conversation about Edwards v. Aguillard and about... what the whole agenda is here and why it's pernicious is that really this is about violating the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, in a way.
And this is, there's a clause in Louisiana that says the exact same thing as the First Amendment, which is freedom of religion. And this, voucher programs could very well be violating it. We haven't really gotten to the specifics of the case law around vouchers of the First Amendment.
No, we can if you'd like. I mean, it is interesting. There's the Lemon Test, and there's the decision in Ohio.
So I guess we can quickly brush over the decision in Ohio, which is, it said vouchers, it was a split decision that said vouchers were constitutional, right?
Right.
The separation of church and state.
It's a 5-4 decision, yeah.
Decision, very controversial. Having said that, Louisiana's program, this decision shouldn't even apply to, because Louisiana's program is set up entirely differently. The reason that program survived is the justification was we aren't giving money to the schools.
Right.
Giving it to the parents, and they're choosing schools in the area. and they are and these schools they could choose a secular option if they wanted, and we're not funding these schools directly. We're funding them through parents.
Right.
So I would dispute that ruling as itself. Right now, it does stand as precedent. The thing though is in Louisiana, we are not even we're not giving the money to the students. We're not giving it to the parents to spend like this program that survived the court challenges. We're giving it. We are establishing students go to certain schools and paying schools.
Yeah, it's sort of a charade, right? I mean, what Louisiana's program was set up to do is that it was established to by the schools, right? So the state went in and said, "Tell us how many slots you want, and we'll pre-qualify you for a number of slots."
So that, I would argue, was done to make the program as large as it possibly could be, as quickly as possible.
Whereas what you're saying about the Ohio program was they just pre-qualified any student, not based on where they went to school, right, but on how much money their household made.
I don't actually know if Ohio's program specifically did that. Ohio has a program like that.
Yeah.
They also have several disability scholarships. So if you have ADHD, you can maybe, or whatever specific thing in the restriction is, you can get a doctor's note and say, "I need a school that fits my needs better," and then take themselves to a Christian school that's funded by the state.
So what they did, so the difference is between, we've talked about this, there's what's called the Lemon Test, right, which is this sort of five-prong test that the courts have applied to look at the four-part?
Three-part.
Okay, let me look this up. That the courts have used to, that have applied to judge the validity of a voucher program, or the Establishment Clause.
The Establishment Clause.
Yeah, you're right, it is three. And I guess in the Ohio case, they really did a five-part analysis, is what I was getting at. But it's the secular legislative purpose, which is sort of interesting because as long as a bill like the LSEA is written in secular language and appeals to sort of a secular desire to advance education, then you can say it has a valid secular purpose.
When the sponsor of the bill says for creationism, I feel like that one might violate that.
You would think that, and I would think that. I don't know if Antonin Scalia would think that, but both of us would.
Having said that, I don't think Antonin Scalia would ever invalidate the Louisiana Secession Act. I think I would leave that up to the other justices.
Right, and of course, you know, as you point out, remember there are four Supreme Court justices that just recently ruled against this and said that no, it was unconstitutional and it was a split decision. So it's not exactly, you know, this is a controversial issue. This is not settled law by any means. And the other part of the Lemon Test is that the primary effect can't be to advance or inhibit religion.
By the clause of the Louisiana Science Education Act, where they say essentially this isn't meant to promote or for or against religion, of course, that's been compared to a suicide bomb. A blogger who I know, the centrist curmudgeon, he does a lot of, he's one of the best bloggers on creationism versus evolution issues, compared to a suicide bomber who strapped a suicide vest on himself and then attached a note that said, "But this isn't meant to blow up."
Right.
That's essentially
right. An
analogy with the Louisiana Science Education Act. This is just, from one of Senator Peterson's staff members, we opened the door and the dog ran out, but we can pretend the dog hasn't run out. And that's essentially what it is. It's them attempting to establish plausible deniability in a really comical manner, almost.
Yeah, it is I mean, especially because we know the people behind this, and we know that the reason that they advanced this legislation was to advance religion, that it was specifically intended for that. I mean, the crazy thing is that a lot of these conservative judges, just, you know, this idea of this textualism and originalism, just looking at the text itself and not really looking at legislative history or intent or anything like that, the text itself may hold up as advancing a legitimate secular purpose. And the text itself may seem like it doesn't really advance or inhibit religion. But the as applied, I mean, and certainly as intended, it does.
Yes, and the other thing to note is they've been, the creationists have gotten in trouble before for sort of singling out certain things like evolution, and so they added to it. They added origin of the earth, I think, human cloning, and climate change.
Right.
Despite the fact that they've increased the list, it's still pretty much highlighting certain things that are controversial to one group of people, the Louisiana Family Forum.
Right.
And the people who support their agenda.
And it seems, yeah, again, it is the LSEA, and it does, it obviously in its name, implies that it's hostile towards science. I mean, there's a whole other discussion about why these folks don't believe that their religious beliefs can coexist with science, and that's a totally different conversation. But the whole thing does seem to be hostile towards science. Science as sort of an atheistic undermining of the sanctity of their religious beliefs. And I go so back to the Lemon Test. So the third one, just so people know, is, and we've talked about this a lot, is the action can't result in an excessive government entanglement
with
religion. Right.
Argue that by the fact that it added that clause on at the end of the Louisiana Science Education Act, when you have to add that clause, that seems like there might be an excessive entanglement.
What clause are you referring to again?
This is not for or against religion.
Right.
Add that to a supposed science law, which shouldn't have anything to do with religion in the first place, isn't that only going to religion? So that's sort of another little hint is, why did they even have to add that in the first place if this is just purely about science? Like, if you're only promoting science, you shouldn't have to put in there a law or a note in your law that this isn't about religion. It should just be about science.
You would think it's sort of an insurance policy, I guess, for them. And again, like you said, it's a way for them to evoke sort of this plausible deniability, you know?
Yeah, but also, I'm arguing that actually, while giving them what they view as plausible deniability, it's also opening them up to, in other words, it's making even more clear that this is about religion. Because I've said before, you don't need critical thinking, or you don't need to mandate critical thinking in a science class. You don't need to add in this thing that's not for religion when it's for science class. That's sort of how, that's science. Science is not about religion. Science is about critical thinking. This whole law is sort of redundant. And so the only reason it's here is to sneak stuff in the science class.
Right.
And so it sort of becomes clear when you look at why they're doing, like, why would they do that? Like, why would they add in this is not about religion? They would only do that if they had something to hide.
Yeah, if specifically it was for religion, you know? So in the last week and a half or so, you've sort of become re-emerged in the national spotlight, I guess, right? So MSNBC had an article about you. The blog IO9 did a cover story about you for a whole day. It's a Gawker Media blog. And yeah, go ahead.
People now, at least over a million people.
Yeah, that's crazy, and it's also led to a lot of attention on Louisiana's own Julie Quinn and Mike Walsworth.
Yes.
There are a couple of videos that you uploaded, and I remember when you uploaded them, and I was probably like one of the first 12 people that watched them, you know? There are only a few of us dorks out there, and suddenly this has been viewed by like 500,000 people or 225,000, something like that. I mean, I don't know what the hits are exactly today, but, you know, 250,000 people or so.
Yeah, my YouTube channel has 400,000 views on it or so now.
Yeah, so almost 500,000 people have looked at this stuff, and it's really exposed these guys in for the sort of the crazy stuff that they said during these committee meetings. And I just wonder what you think about this. I mean, Julie Quinn, you know, we talked about it earlier. I think there's probably a post on my blog where we did an email interview, and we talked about the little letters behind their names, sort of the arrogant dismissal and the dismissiveness that she exuded to you guys. There was also another line that I don't think made it into the YouTube clip where she, I think it was Julie Quinn, that asked you guys why you weren't in school.
It was Julie Quinn she asked. It wasn't why we weren't in school. She says something like, well, I mean, how would y'all make it through school with this terrible law? Or something
okay.
Like, Like, if this law's so bad, why did you all graduate?
Yeah, well, you went to a good school. You went to the same school that Bobby Jindal went to.
Exactly.
which is a public school, it should be noted. So I'm curious what you think the effects... So the effects of your sort of... I mean, I don't want to use the word celebrity, but the national... And not only use the word notoriety, because that implies something bad, but I guess it's, you know... Today you were called brainwashed, and you've been called their worst nightmare, so maybe that is notoriety. What do you think the effects of this are in next session, and how do you think this will affect people like Walsworth, and I guess Quinn's out. She's probably running for judge, or is she a judge now, or she's out of the legislature?
Judge, and she did not run for the seat that I think she was planning on running for, but I mean, I don't know exactly what she plans. I imagine...
I really don't, yeah. Who cares about her? She's got two little letters behind her name, and, you know, I think it's a JD.
Yeah, she has a JD. I imagine she's still interested in running for other office, though.
Right, and this is probably deeply embarrassing to her nationally to be exposed to sort of this woman that went up in front of, you know, I don't know if she had the gavel, or I don't think she was the chairman of the committee, but...
Actually, Senator Ben Nevers. Senator Nevers is a very... kind man, I get along with him very well, but we do strongly disagree on this issue. But he, we should know that he was the head of the committee, our first time around to repeal this.
Yeah.
And anyone who doesn't remember, he sponsored the Louisiana Science Education Act itself.
Right.
People have characterized that as a little bit awkward.
He's chairing a committee to hear the repeal of his own legislation. I mean, that seemed like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. I say.
Yeah, well, how do you think that this national exposure on this issue will affect future repeal efforts?
So I think the first thing is, I don't think we'll hear any. I imagine we won't hear any more about little letters or, as Senator Walsworth said, I don't know if you've seen the video, or I'm sure you actually have, of Senator Walsworth, where a science teacher was giving an elegant explanation of how we can see evolution in action, and their demand didn't. She was talking about E. coli, and demand didn't evolve into a human, which has been noted by the national media. I think it was basically Senator Senator questions evolution, finds out he doesn't understand what it is.
Yeah, is Walsworth the same guy that couldn't pronounce molecular?
Yeah, and the title of the Upworthy viral video that's gotten in about 100,000 views in the last 2 days, is Senator asks for proof evolution, discovers he doesn't actually understand what it is.
Right. I mean, it's comical on one hand, right? It is funny. And if anybody, and I'll put the videos up along with the podcast so people can look at the videos as well, and they are funny. But they're also kind of sad, and it's sort of a sad indictment for the level of intelligence that we have in the state legislature, the level of discourse that goes on there, and the sort of the basic understanding of basic science.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess the anecdote I have here is, I don't know if you remember before the last repeal effort or during last repeal effort, not related to these videos, but the... writer for the AP, who usually covers this, when she's covering the repeal, she likes to email one of the Nobel laureates to endorse the repeal and ask them for a quote.
Right.
So she asked Sir Harry Proto in 2012, I think. And Sir Harry provided a quote upon the defeat of the bill that Louisiana was a laughingstock. And so that's honestly our reputation. That's from a Nobel laureate, a knighted Nobel laureate scientist. He's Sir Harry Proto.
Right.
That really is, it's a shame that people look at us that way, because, I mean, that's sort of what sparked my repeals. I was embarrassed when I went and talked to my friends out of state. I felt I didn't want to be the kid from Louisiana because people were laughing at me for it.
Well, you do go to a pretty science-friendly institution, you know, and Rice, of course, and Croteau actually has a connection to Rice, as you know, who shared the Nobel Prize with two Rice professors. For discovering the buckyball. But I guess what I'm interested in is, you know, aside from, so you have 78 laureates, you've got this national attention going on, and what I'm interested in getting a clear answer from you on is, you know, in the next session, do you think these guys are going to be more cautious about what they say?
I hope they vote for us. I mean, the thing, the interesting thing to note is how many people sat out last vote. We had, there are 7 members of the committee. That
yeah, it is interesting. And it was only 3 votes, right?
Only 3 votes. So that says, I mean, people were already cautious about this. And a few, and Senator Walsworth was as cautious as some, obviously. But I imagine we'll see some progress. I think we're gonna because I cannot imagine the Louisiana legislature is unaware of how these videos have suddenly gone viral.
Right. I would think that the Louisiana Family Forum is also aware and probably will prep these guys in the next session with talking points, what to say, so they don't go off script and say dumb things like mocular instead of molecular, or ask about, you know, how E. coli can't evolve into a human being.
I suppose they could give him talking points so he doesn't have to try and Google it himself.
Right.
Because that was where that one came from. Although, I mean, Gene Mills is also on the YouTube channel, has gotten about 2,000 views himself, about where he said on record that essentially he would like to relitigate Edwards versus Aguilar, which is an interesting thing to be talking about in this committee that's supposed to be not Family Forum is claiming, for them to be on record about Edwards versus Aguilar and why they don't like it.
That is interesting. I guess I need to check out that video. I'll probably put that up as well.
Yeah.
So what do you think the next steps are? I mean, obviously, the voucher program has been ruled by 3 different judges as unconstitutional, as violating the first one was a
DSEG, right?
DSEG, a federal DSEG order. So that's a federal issue. And then the other 2 rulings were that the program was going to use minimum foundation program money, MFP money, which was designed to sort of equalize the playing field between schools from poor public schools and rural poor districts and public schools that rely on wealthier urban districts with higher property taxes and I guess whatever else is used to support the tax base there. So they were going to take money away from the MFP program, and they said, no, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. And there was a 3rd one, I think, that recently said that the provision about superintendents being allowed to, was it fire principals at will?
Not entirely sure on that one, because I wasn't watching that one as closely after the program itself had been ruled unconstitutional by Judge Shintelli.
Yeah.
Something. There was one other ruling that it didn't strike down everything in one of the governor's education proposals, did strike down some of it.
So, I mean, the next steps here are, you know, I mean, I guess with the LSEA, the next step would be another repeal effort. Hopefully the national attention will lead to some pressure on these legislators to finally wake up and realize that this is embarrassing and they need to repeal this law. It's really embarrassing. And to be brave and to fight against the Louisiana Family Forum and to, you know, that's probably the first step on that. But on the vouchers, it does look like what's going to happen there, and, you know, you could jump in any time, is that Jindal and the state, they're going to have to figure out a way of appropriating money to fund this program through the general fund, because they no longer have, unless the state Supreme Court says, yeah, you can do this MFP thing, they no longer have the mechanism to fund the program.
So here's my thought, which is in Louisiana, I think the first step is we see what happens with these court cases. And then depending, I mean, like I said, I don't want the program being funded with any public money at all.
Right.
If Jindal pulls the money out of the public fund, I think that's equally wrong. I think that's when there needs to be a court case launched about the provisions we mentioned earlier, where you have to have curriculum that's at least equal to that of public schools, because that is in the state constitution. And so nationally, I think the next step is to sort of stem the bleeding, which is, it's going to be rough to say repeal Florida's McKay Scholarship Plan, despite the 164 creation of schools in it, despite the cocaine dealers and kidnappers who are running the schools. It's going to be a rough fight to get rid of that immediately. And so I think the first step is to prevent states like Texas and Tennessee from passing voucher programs, prevent Georgia and Wisconsin and Indiana from expanding their voucher programs, and just stop where we are, and then we can start working on
getting
festivals funded by the
Bachelor. You definitely see this as a state-by-state fight, right? But don't you think that there are some things that President Obama could do through executive orders that could really curb a lot of this stuff in the first place?
Absolutely, he could. I mean, I would love to see an executive order that basically says you will not teach creationism, intelligent design creationism, or anything not supported by science. And we recognize things like teach the controversy, like the whole sort of critical thinking critique Louisiana Science Education Act bills. We recognize that these are just loopholes to bring creationism and other non-science into science classrooms.
And again, people need to realize it's science classrooms that we're talking about.
Senator Quinn, as we talked about in that video, she did not seem to recognize we were only talking about science classrooms.
Right. Yeah, I think there is a really big misconception that this is about science education and not about history or world religion or philosophy or anything like that.
I had to explain to Senator Quinn, for example, that you can absolutely talk about the Bible in an English classroom because it's literature. The Bible has been used, and that the biblical allusions have been in so much literature, and as someone who's done a lot of creative writing and a lot of English, it's sort of hard to miss it. And so Senator Quinn was trying to sort of paint us into a corner rhetorically by trying to get us to say we wouldn't want it in an English classroom. But a lot of people need to understand this is only about, this is science in the science classroom, religion in classes where it's appropriate.
Right, right. I think you're probably right that Obama could issue some executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, back to what I said earlier about given what he said today about science being important to the next 4 years of his administration, hopefully this is something he can get behind. And I know you've talked and written about the idea of a trillion dollar initiative over the course of the next decade or so for R&D and scientific research and development, right? As a priority for the president and for the next Congress. You know, and as I told you, I don't think that's ambitious, and it's good to be ambitious. I don't know if it'll happen, but certainly there is a way that we could be able to curb this, the whole teaching the controversy stuff in science classrooms by the president saying, you know, if you accept federal funding for your schools, then, you know, we're going to have to hold your feet to the fire on what you're teaching these kids.
I mean, there absolutely is a way, and I think it's really something that just needs to be brought to the president's attention as it's easy to do. He can issue the executive orders, and he can say, we will not be teaching. He's talked about winning the future, and he's talked about out-innovating everyone else. I think he'd absolutely be for this if it was brought to his attention, so I'm hoping it will be.
Yeah, and I think that given the way in which that Louisiana sort of took the lead on this, and now you're seeing that, as you know, because you're a leader in this, you're seeing the way that other states sort of followed suit, and they're modeling their legislation off of Louisiana, not just the LSEA, but also the voucher program is modeled after Louisiana's program, even though Louisiana's voucher program has been ruled unconstitutional three different ways, you know.
I mean, I was in that committee meeting in Texas, and I heard all about how we should copy Louisiana.
Right.
Now knowing Florida, they was talking about how great Florida's program was for about 45 minutes, the Texas Observer noted. And they also noted that basically the advocate said, I would invite you to Google McKay scholarship problems. And you can probably find the problems that people claim there are, basically. And so they said, invitation accepted, and found the article I mentioned about the cocaine dealers. So these programs, which are clearly not good models, are being used as models around the country.
Yeah, and I think we should be clear, too, that the program in Ohio, which was, you know, like we said, was a split decision, 5-4. One of the things that the Supreme Court said was that the students there at least had a valid secular alternative in an adjacent or adjoining school district. In your research and in my research that I've done independently of you, I mean, I don't see any really, maybe one or two real secular schools.
which Louisiana has 64 parishes, so
yeah.
Unless those parishes are closer together than I remember them being, I don't think the adjoining school district sort of clause is
yeah.
really.
Yeah, there's really no. In other words, to make sense of it, there's really no valid secular alternative for kids in Louisiana that want to participate in this program. They either participate in the program and go to a religious school. Aside from the Catholic schools, the overwhelming majority of Catholic schools, with the exception of Menard and Alexandria, that do teach evolution, the remaining schools, it appears, are these sort of fly-by-night operators, like we saw up in Ruston or with Leonard Lucas down in New Orleans, or they seem to be these radical right evangelical church schools. That teach creation, new earth creationism, as opposed to science. And then also, and we haven't even touched on this, but the research that you did on the textbooks, it's not just about what these schools teach, what the curricula teaches with respect to science. I mean, it's about history, English, applied mathematics.
And Mother Jones, for example, took some of his favorite lessons from these history and science textbooks. We can read some of them, I guess, because there's some of them are pretty fun. So dinosaurs lived with humans, and some of these dinosaurs were actually dragons who had chemicals in glands that allowed them to breathe fire. The KKK, we've talked about the KKK one, I think.
Go ahead and say that for people that don't know.
One of these textbooks. And so the problem with all these lessons, I forgot to mention, is we don't actually know who's teaching what using what version of the book. So I can't say any school is teaching this or that, or if they're still using this version. But there's one of these lessons, Mother Jones and Alternate, some other ones highlighted, that was basically like, the KKK, it said the KKK was sometimes a moral institution, which, and they justified as they also cracked down on bootleggers. And so that was lesson. Also, like, globalism's bad and is going to cause, like, the rapture or something.
I mean, it's sort of, it's like a very perverse, crazy way of thinking about the world, that the KKK is somehow a moral or fought in some way. You know, there's a controversy about whether or not the KKK was moral, because, yeah, at least they were against the bootleggers. I mean, what a crazy alternative way of looking at the world.
And so, so this is actually the quote I've got on the page up. This is from Bob Jones, University Press, 3rd edition, 2001, United States History for Christian Schools, and said, the Ku Klux Klan in some areas of the country tried to be a means of fighting the decline in morality and using the symbol of the cross. Klan targets were bootleggers, white beaters, and immoral movies. In some communities, it achieved a certain respectability as it worked with politicians. And so that's what some students are learning.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll see what happens in the next session. I'm assuming that Karen Carter-Peterson is going to, again, she said that she's going to file a bill every session until it finally gets repealed. Good on her. That's great, you know.
Karen's pretty tenacious, I imagine we'll see her do just that.